For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's up, Atlanta, on this beautiful holiday Labor Day Monday afternoon? Hanging out with you, E, put them up, the full four, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Eric Slaughter is with me, executive producer extraordinaire. E, we're taking our weekend show shenanigans to primetime.
Yes, indeed, baby. Welcome to Mondays, baby. We've done this before. We did Memorial Day together, if I recall correctly. We've done some other big-time holidays. You won't get no barbecues for us. Work for us.
No. I brought some. Does Chick-fil-A count? I think me, you, and Joe Patrick, who's going to be joining me in the next hour, we're all just munching on some quality Chick-fil-A.
My Subway today. A Subway man today. I'm using Chick-fil-A today with Subway.
All right. Well, you know what? Regardless, we're still going to have a ton of fun. Joe Patrick waiting in the bullpen. He's going to join me in the 3 o'clock hour, and we are going to talk all things Falcons. Not only are we going to talk all things Falcons, we're going to talk all things Falcons with you. Joe is our Falcons insider here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So he is going to sit in with me for a full hour and take your questions. What questions do you have leading into week one? What concerns do you have leading into week one? How confident are you leading into week one? Or do you just want to call up and say, man, the Falcons are going to boat race these clowns from Steel Town? You can do all of that at 404-726-0929. Got a jam-packed show. Connor Riley, his usual spot, going to join me at 4 o'clock. And then we'll see. About these Bravos, huh? Yeah, not exactly what you wanted. The games were close, but no cigar, as they like to say. The Braves basically just punted away the NL East, and we shall see what they are able to do for the rest of the season. But that's not where I want to start, because E, we were on the air on Saturday afternoon when a little game went down between a couple of Bulldogs and a couple of Tigers. And woof, woof, triumphed over Meow Meow in drastic fashion, 34-31.
That's a promo right there. I'm cutting it right now.
Yeah, that was pretty much what happened, 34-31. Carson Beck looked really good. The defense, where there was some questions maybe up front, how they were going to handle the rushing attack and Cade Klubnik. Well, Cade Klubnik looked terrible. He was 18 for 29, 142 yards, and a pick. And if you hadn't seen that pick by Starks, simply amazing. Just Google it when you get home. Don't do it while you're driving. And he was sensational. And so was the rest of the defense. And the offense stalled in the first half, but they really clicked in the second half, and it was a tale of two halves, as they like to say. So here's what I want to know. At 404-726-0929, dog fans, we've had a couple of days now to sit on it. You've digested it, a wire-to-wire, pillar-to-post victory, right? Do you have any more concerns, lingering concerns, that Georgia is not the best team in the country? Now, I'm not saying they're going to go 12-0. I think the Alabama-Texas duo is just a little bit too much to overcome. But, hey, they could. I mean, if the defense plays like it did against Clemson, you know, sky's the limit for this team. So, as a Georgia fan, as a Bulldog fan, is there any doubt left in your mind? Because I bet you some of you out there, and you can let me know, again, at 404-726-0929, you know, your level of concern going into the game, right? I think the majority of Bulldogs fans were somewhere between confident and very confident. But I know there were some of y'all out there that had a couple of questions. We've been talking about it on Dukes and Bell. We've been talking about it all throughout the weeks leading up to the game. And now, I think just about all of those questions have been answered, right? The only flip side I can see, and if you feel this way, I definitely want to hear from you, is that you believe Clemson was way overhyped. If you think Clemson was nowhere near as good enough to beat Georgia as it showed out to be by losing by 31 points, then I could see the argument. You're saying, hey, Turtle, I get it, man. They looked really good, but how good is Clemson actually, right? Are they the third best team in the ACC? Miami looked pretty good, right? Miami got a big dub. You know, are they the third, fourth best team in the ACC? I'm not entirely sure. So let me know at 404-726-0929. Do you have any lingering concerns about the Bulldogs? I mean, I always thought their biggest question going in to the season was going to be, do they have enough heft up front on the defensive line to score, to prevent, rather, other teams from running the ball and scoring on the ground? And when you limit the team to total of, 189 yards total and just 47 yards on the ground, yeah, it's pretty good. I would say that's pretty good. Georgia, by the way, 447 yards of total offense and 169 yards on the ground. And that was with their third and fourth string running backs, right? Because ETN was suspended and Mr. Robinson, Roderick Robinson, was dealing with turf toe. So he's going to be out. And Branson Robinson wasn't even the star. It was Nate Frazier who put on a show on the ground for the Bulldogs. He had 11 carries for 83 yards and a touchdown, and he looked like a lead back doing so. So, again, as you start to look at the schedule, right, Georgia next week, they have Tennessee Tech. So I don't think we're going to be quaking in our boots about that one necessarily. But Kentucky, they look pretty good in their opening win. They didn't play anybody, but Vandegrift showed that he's a competent quarterback. That's going to be, you know, maybe a decent test. We'll see. They've played each other hard. And then all eyes on September 28th. You get Bama at Bama, 7:30 p.m. kick on ABC, and that will be your first true test of the season. Because I think a lot of us out there, E, what did you feel going into the game? Did you think the 11.5 or 13.5 where it started from was too big? How did you feel about the spread? Did you think Georgia was going to go in and roll?
I thought the spread was pretty accurate because I had it more of a 34-22 type of affair. I didn't think they would shut Clemson out just like that. I was really worried about skill position wise. You lost your primary wide receiver to shenanigans, your best running back shenanigans. So I was worried about what the offense would look like without those two guys, knowing that they've got some wide receiver depth, but they're inexperienced. You're best tight ends in the NFL. I was wanting to see how quickly the offense could get moving, which we saw in the first half. They did struggle.
Yeah.
Whatever those first half adjustments that the O-line made and the skill guys made, kudos to them. But that defense, I never thought. I mean, what we saw for them 3 years ago when they had arguably the greatest defense in college football history.
Right.
We was like, wow, we'll never see that again. Could they go through another year where they hold teams to 10 points or less every single game?
It looks like, I mean, again, that goes to me. The question becomes, how much did we all overvalue Clemson? And people were saying, you know, there was a lot of Cade Klubnik hype going into the season. You put on weight, he looks good, he's more muscular. All the things that you hear about all these quarterbacks in the pro and the college ranks, but he was terrible. He was awful.
And then he's going to come out in the next 2 or 3 weeks and put up 40 points a game. Watch.
Yeah.
Clemson is not as bad as they looked. They just ran into the best defense in football.
Okay, so that's that, exactly. So that's what we're trying to figure out today, right? At 404-726-0929. Where are you guys at? Do you feel like that Clemson game was just a pure display of absolute dominance by UGA and you are not worried at all going through the rest of the schedule? Or basically, are you still having to wait and see a little bit more because you're not entirely sure where this Clemson competition ranked? I tend to agree with E. I saw dominance, man. The defense, it wasn't just the first half for the defense. It was the whole game. Like, the offense only had one good half. But, and that half was incredible, by the way. I think they scored 4 out of 5 touchdown drives. The defense was just phenomenal the entire way through. Klubnik couldn't do anything. Moffa couldn't do anything on the ground. It wasn't. And Clemson doesn't have any receivers that really blow you away anyway. But the guys that they do have, they couldn't do jack squat. So I don't know, man. I'm just saying, if I'm a Dogs fan right now, that's why I want to hear from you guys. Like, I'd be feeling pretty damn good right now. I'd be feeling like, I don't know. I mean, Texas looked great. Can't deny that. Bama looked great. But, like, Colorado State, like, you know what I mean?
The competition was not – competition wasn't scaring anybody.
Yeah.
Competition
wasn't. So, no duh, they were going to put up 60 points. You know, of course they were. But
and not give up any.
Yeah. At the same time, you know, we'll see what happens when they both play a little bit of stiffer competition coming up over the next couple of weeks. But, again, Kentucky's going to be – it should be a decent game. You have Bama coming up, then Auburn the following week, and then Mississippi State, and then Texas. So, you know, it's about to get real. After next week, things are about to pick up for the Dogs, and the test is going to be coming. So the question is to all y'all out there listening, how good do you feel? Do you feel like this is just going to be another year where the Kirby train just steamrolls everybody in their path like we saw 2 out of the last 4 years? Or do you think that you're telling me to slow my roll a little bit right now because it was just one game and Clemson might just be a little overhyped? All right, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. When we get back, we'll take your calls. Plus, what did Kirby and Carson Beck have to say after the game? You don't want to miss some of their comments coming up about the way that the team played. Kirby called out a specific unit and said that they're a little thin at this position. I'll tell you which one that is. And, of course, this hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Chris Thomas, Turtle, hanging out with you until 6 o'clock. Again, don't forget our buddy Joe Patrick is going to be in studio from 3 to 4 p.m. taking your calls on all things Falcons leading into Week 1. Busy, busy show for you. Hanging out till 6 o'clock. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
in the Ferrari or Jaguar.
Are the Dogs just going to roll this season? I mean, maybe not 12-0, but are they going to cruise to 11 wins this season and be the number one seed in the playoffs? Or was Clemson perhaps just a paper tiger, pun intended there, as the Georgia Bulldogs stomp, rout Clemson 34-3 on Saturday? E and I were on the air when it happened, but we didn't get a chance to really break it down to a fine powder. So Caleb Johnson's going to join me next. He was at the game. Connor Riley is going to join me at 4 o'clock. Covers the Dogs for Dog Nation, our partners over there. So we got you covered pillar to post. But I want to hear from Dog fans out there, man. 404-726-0929. How do you feel about the squad right now? Are they just going to roll? Is this team as good as the two championship teams, especially with the defense only giving up 3 points to Cade Klubnik, who is supposed to be this, you know, reformed quarterback in Clemson that was going to be the next big thing this year, and he looked like garbage because the UGA defense shut him down? Or are you saying slow your roll, Turtle, a little bit because you're not entirely sure that Clemson wasn't just overrated, and let's see how they do against Kentucky, Bama, Auburn. Man, this is a tough stretch. Kentucky, Bama, Auburn, Mississippi State at Texas. Then you get the cocktail party at Ole Miss versus Tennessee, who look great. I mean, they got a lot of challenges coming up. There's no doubt about that. So let me know what you guys think. Where is your level of confidence in this team right now? Is it sky high? You know, they're just going to roll, or do you feel like the Clemson game wasn't the perfect test marker, shall we say, to say, hey, you know, this team, Clemson, they were flawed. They were not as good as their ranking, especially at quarterback, and we'll see what happens. 404-726-0929. While we get your calls in, let's hear a couple of things from the guys after the game. Carson Beck, I thought this was interesting. He spoke about one of the new rules this year, which is the helmet comms for the quarterback and the coach, and he thought it was a big advantage.
It was definitely different. I liked it a lot personally. there's still some times where, you know, you look over to the sidelines and, you know, we're not going, you know, we're going slow, we're not going fast, and you still look at the signal, confirm everything. But I definitely think it picks up the pace of the game and allows us to play faster on offense, play to play.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do, right? Everything is to speed up the game, except the damn two-minute warning, which E and I joked about on Saturday. It's going to take me a hot. I'm going to forget. There's going to be big games on this season, and I'm going to be like, wait, why are they stopping? Oh, yeah, they have a two-minute. Wait, you can't call it a two-minute warning, right? It's got to be a two-minute timeout. I think that's what they're saying now, because the NFL has the rights on the two-minute warning.
Yeah, you never can have the exact same thing. That's so why, you know, it's funny. That's why in high school we can't call it instant replay. We have to call it video review, because instant replay is trademarked.
Wow, that's funny. Yep. You see, look at the NFL. They can't even let the poor high school kids have a little video review without making sure they get their dirty paws all up in it. One more from Carson Beck before we hear from Kirby Smart. This was interesting, too, because if you looked at Carson Beck in the first half versus the second half, it looked like two different quarterbacks, two different offenses, because he admitted to saying, hey, a little jitterbug's going in the first half.
I think just coming out in the first quarter, maybe there's a little bit of nerves. Maybe guys were just trying to, you know, get warmed into the game. Well, I mean, once we got in that second half, you know, looking at the iPad, seeing what they were doing against us, I mean, it was everything that, you know, we saw on film that we watched from last year. So, you know, we just kind of deciphered which ways that we wanted to attack them and maybe try to be a little bit more aggressive coming out of the half. And
I mean, listen, that's okay, right? I mean, it was the first game of the season. I'm not going to kill him for that. He still wound up having a really good game, throwing for close to 300 yards and two touchdowns and no interceptions. So all's fine. All's well that ends well there. I mean, if Clemson got off to a fast start, you know, if they scored a couple of touchdowns in the first half and Georgia only had 6 points, I think it would have, that narrative obviously would have been written a little bit differently, but I think we're fine at this point, given the way that the game had played out. Now, Kirby spoke after the game about injuries to Mykel Williams and Warren Brinson. We did get an update on both of those guys. It looks like they avoided major injury for both of them. So, E, let's skip to cut four for those playing at home. Kirby was asked point blank, was Trevor Etienne suspended?
next
you know
week.
We don't talk about those things, Chip. It's a good try though. Well, I'm focused on how our guys play today, and that's the focus and energy I'm putting it towards.
Okay. All right. I mean, all right. I just.
Why did he just hit him with the next question?
Yeah. I mean, just. Next all right, Kirby. I mean, you got two rings. We can't say anything as journalists out there in the media trying to just do our job, but you're going to make it, you know, go through hell and high water just to try to
revoke his credential.
Pull a Dion and just say, nope, Chip Towers, AJC, done, banished. From post-game press conferences from Kirby Smart, 404-726-0929. Let's go to Dave in McDonough. He wants to talk some UGA and Bama as well. Dave, what are we thinking? Is UGA just going to roll, or was Clemson a little bit of a paper tiger?
I'm going to say it's a little bit of both. I don't mean to ride the fence on this, but number one, I think Georgia's by far, if not the best team in the country, number two. Okay, arguably in the top three for sure, but I think you're number one and number two.
Right.
I think Clemson is all hype with a lot of skilled players, and that's generally been their role for a long time. They've got those special players that are incredible athletes, but as a system and as a team, they look horrible. And that's all on Dabo. That's his fault, nobody else's. But I wanted to give you a little perspective from a Bama fan. Let me just say this. I'm scared. And I don't usually put that out there. And I'm not scared of Georgia. I'm scared of how bad we could be. And I know we put 63 up on Western Kentucky. I get it. But we also gave up sacks. We played a bend but don't break defense, which scares the heck out of me because two interceptions inside our own 20. We don't need to be letting teams get anywhere near that area. And if we're facing a real team like Georgia, y'all going to put up points all day long. But we could not stop Western Kentucky if we prayed for it. It was ridiculous. I mean, I am very impressed with Ryan Williams, that little kid, freshman, 17-year-old, two catches, two touchdowns. That's crazy. He's going to be amazing. I think Milroe will be good too, but he's still Milroe, okay, which means he gets sacked. It means he holds the ball too long. We got a lot of weak, intangibles, things that just don't look like they have it all together yet, and I'm worried.
So are you putting that on DeBoer?
Well, I'm putting that on a new system and still trying to figure things out. Heck, we couldn't start the game because we couldn't figure out what technology for Western Kentucky's headphones, for God's sakes. I'm telling you, DeBoer will be successful in the long run, but I just worry that some of his loosey-goosey kind of relaxed attitude kind of shows on the field as, don't worry, we'll stop him eventually. And I hate that because I think we need to be smash mouth like we've been in the past. And I don't see that in Bama right now.
Well, do you feel like that's a product of him coming from the Pac-12 where that's kind of their mantra on defense anyway?
I do. And again, I think he's a good coach, and I think he will adapt, unlike Dabo, to where he's at. But the reality is this, is that in the SEC, if you don't have a staunch defense, I don't care how good your offense is. Defense typically wins, and y'all have an amazing defense. Or I say y'all. Georgia has an amazing defense. That's why I still put you guys ahead of us and for the long run ahead of everybody else in the country.
Yeah, Dave, appreciate the phone call. Great stuff. Great way to start it out on the phones, 404-726-0929. See, tell me you're a privileged fan without telling me you're a privileged fan, because you're telling me your team wins by 50 points and Dave sure certainly has a lot of concerns about the Crimson Tide after an absolute demolishment of Colorado State. But that's what you got to look at, right? And that's what we're essentially doing with Georgia, right? I mean, because you got to look at Georgia, Bama, Ohio State. Like, you're not going to just come on the air after the game day and be like, well, you know, everything's good. No, because you got to look at it like you're not comparing yourself to Colorado State. You're comparing yourself to Georgia if you're Alabama. If you're Ohio State, you're comparing yourself to Alabama, you know, to the best teams in the country. That's how you got to look at the situation. So I understand what Dave from McDonough was saying, and he made some really good points, but I don't know if I'm ready to push the panic button just yet. It seemed like he was maybe close to it a little bit. I'm just not entirely sure I would go that far just yet. Let's see what happens when they face, you know, legit competition. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. These two teams are going to butt heads. But Dave sounded like he was not sure that Bama's up to the task. And you know what? cheers to that, Dogs fans, on a Labor Day. 404-726-0929. James is in the A. James, what do you think? UGA a powerhouse, just going to steamroll, or is Clemson a little overrated?
I think we're going to steamroll. I felt really good about that game. I was a little nervous at first just because we started a little shaky. But I just think, just like you said and just like Carson Beck said, first game jitters, you know, just get those first game jitters out the way, and then I think we're going to be good to go. Our defensive line looked really good. Our secondary looked really good. We don't have the same weapons we had last year when it comes to receivers, especially at the tight end position. But I think we're still looking really good. We still put up, you know, 34 points on the Clemson team, ranked 14. So people may say they aren't living up to their rank, but I don't really agree with that. I think that Clemson's a really good team, and you know, we saw what we could do against a really good team.
Yeah, James, appreciate the phone call. Good stuff there as well at 404-726-0929. And that's sort of what I'm getting at, right? Not sort of, it is. That is what I'm getting at. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our buddy Caleb Johnson was in the house on Saturday, going to get his perspective of what the Benz was like. This hour is brought to you again by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season when you head over to mancavestore.com. So when we get back, I got a bunch of stuff I need to ask Caleb. First of all, I want to know what the percentage of Dogs versus Clemson fans was in the building because he was there. I want to know how it felt going into halftime. Were there a lot of people sitting on their hands? And then how was that building when it exploded in the second half for Georgia? Plus, what did he see in the second half that maybe Georgia can replicate versus teams coming up when they play Kentucky? They got off to a slow start the last time. Are they going to have to reach into their bag again and pull it out? That seems to be, if there's one sort of consistent bugaboo for the Kirby Smart regime, like the championship era regime, a couple of slow starts. You look back at some games and you're like, huh, it was 12-9 at halftime. And then you look at the final score, it was 43-14. So a lot of that going on in Dog Nation. Appreciate those who called in. Take more of your calls later, 404-726-0929. And again, if you missed it, special announcement. We have a special 3 o'clock hour coming up with our buddy Joe Patrick, who is in the building. We are going to be taking your calls on all things Falcons and getting you prepped for week 1 versus the Steelers. But when we get back, Caleb Johnson recaps a dominant Dog victory on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What was the key to the second half? How was the building? Was it rocking? First half was kind of meh. To answer all those questions and more, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline because he, Caleb Johnson, normally on the Hawks beat, doing a little double dipping, was on the Dogs beat on Saturday afternoon and was in the building. Caleb, how are you?
I'm good, man.
All right, so let's start here. What did you see was the biggest difference between the tale of two halves for the Dogs, where they were stifled and then had an offensive explosion in the second half?
I think it's a mix of a couple of different things. For one, what I could see with my own two eyes and then got to hear from Carson Beck after the game was an offense that, you know, has a lot of new faces on it. And we're a bit nervous, quite honestly, because you have to imagine, you know, think about the position that Georgia is in. They're starting off the season by playing a top 15 team in Clemson that a lot of people have written off, but you know still has talent on it. And all of the expectations are on Georgia to, you know, to run out as being the number one team in the country and to show it. And so what I saw was some decision-making that I thought was smart but safe, and I think the play call from Mike Bobo, at least on offense, matched that of being like, hey, let's not be the team that makes any stupid mistakes that gets ourselves having to play from behind. And I think, you know, their approach to that, while also at the same time, you know, when they game planned for Clemson, they also got to watch tape on the Clemson offense and know that, hey, these guys don't really scare us. I mean, they might be able to pick us apart here or there, but as far as truly being a juggernaut offense, like, that's not what Clemson is. They're really strong defensively. And I think Clemson's defensive line showed out in a really big way early on until Georgia was able to get, you know, the running game going with Nate Frazier. And then some play calling opened up for Mike Bobo. I think the guys just felt more comfortable. And, you know, as this thing got rolling and there wasn't that fear of, oh, are we going to screw this thing up and you know, and be down to Clemson? No, once they started playing from ahead, they started playing much more free. And that's how you ultimately see, you know, a team dominate 34-3 in the way they did.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing, too, is, Caleb, the Georgia defensive front, I think, was maybe the biggest question mark of the team going into the season. But they only allowed 47 total rushing yards. What did you see on the field from the big guys up front?
I think they showed that they're still not the dominant defensive line that we had in 2021. But it's also, I mean, that's just, I don't know that it's ever going to get better than that, quite frankly. And so everything constantly gets compared to that. I think they're really good. Their ability to get after the quarterback is something that we obviously saw they were better at in the second half than they were in the first. Also, you know, this team dealing with injuries, the fact that they came into this game missing a couple of guys on the defensive line who were out. And then they lose a Warren Brinson. They lose a Michael Williams during the game. That also, I think, kind of limited them in a few ways as well, that they were quite honestly able to overcome. And you see a guy like Jalen Walker come out and just have an incredible day. And I think that is the biggest thing. It's like the defensive line, no, it's not as great as we've seen it, but it's still really, really good. And I think they showed enough that they're going to be just fine over the course of the season, even when they do get tested by the Alabamas and the Texases.
Talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson here. He was at the game covering it for us right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, of course, talking about Georgia and Clemson. So do you believe that there is a – not an issue per se, Caleb, but we have seen, as we talked about the slow start in this one – over the last couple of seasons, they have taken maybe a quarter and a half, sometimes a full half, like in this one, to really ramp it up and turn it on the offensive side. Do you predict that to be an issue this season as well, or do we just chalk it up to, like you said at the first answer of this interview, that it was just nerves?
I think to some extent, this is what we saw was first game of the year, which typically is against an opponent like what they're going to see this Saturday, a Tennessee Tech, you know, a warm-up game. And so some of that is first game of the season. Some of this is just, I mean, Chris, it's, you know, after year after year, we've just kind of learned that Georgia is a bit of this kind of a team, slow to start in games and really kind of work their way into it. I think some of it is players on the field, and then some of it is coaching staff of, like I mentioned, being on that, hey, you know, we've got a 3rd and 9 here. Let's run a screen and see if we can, you know, pop something loose versus let's be really aggressive and attack early on, which is going to be really tricky once you do get to an Alabama, you know, just 3 weeks away at this point. And then once you're in the real thick of your schedule and you face a Texas, like that is where I'm hoping because those big games aren't at the beginning of the season, you know, you still get a few weeks to kind of ramp up that Georgia is able to handle that in a better way. But also I think Georgia is going to be constantly leaning on how strong their defense is, not just the line of scrimmage, but also, I mean, just how great their secondary is. You obviously see, you know, an insane interception from Malachi Starks in that the game against Clemson. I think they're really strong in that secondary, and they're going to rely on their defense to keep them in close games and let them be a bit of a safer approach, leaning on Carson Beck, obviously, with this being his final year.
I know you were, I don't know if you were in the room at the time, but I know you were at least making your way down to when Kirby Smart was speaking post-game, and he answered the question about Trevor Etienne's status for the game in only the way Kirby Smart could. Do you foresee this issue being put to bed after that?
I think so. He's going to play on Saturday. I think, you know, some of the people that I talk to that I trust who cover this team on a daily, weekly basis rather than me just going to hit the home games, these guys all said, hey, this is a policy that the athletic department at the University of Georgia has had for years. This is not something that they just implemented after the issue they had, you know, last year. This is something that's been around for a while, that if you get a DUI, not if you're convicted, like even though Trevor Etienne got the charges dropped, if you are arrested for a DUI, there is a either 10% if you're in a schedule that's like basketball, baseball, something like that, or one game if it is college football. And so, you know, I think it's weird that Kirby does this whole approach of, hey, you know, we don't talk about it. We just don't talk about it. Like, why not? Because everyone else is talking about it outside of the room, Kirby. So why can't you just be upfront and honest that, yes, Trevor did something wrong. We suspended him a game. We're moving on from here, which is what's going to happen on Saturday. I'm sure, you know, Chip Towers was the one to go and ask the question, and he didn't even get his question finished before Kirby was like, shit, you know, we don't talk about that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, but I still got to ask because, you know, I need to write and people need to report on these things. I think the more interesting thing is going to be how serious the injury to Mykael Williams is. He was given a grade 2 ankle sprain, so he is for sure not playing against Tennessee Tech on Saturday. But it's kind of, you know, he left the stadium on Saturday in a boot. So you got to wonder if that's just a 1 week thing or if this is a, you know, how close to the Alabama game is this going to be an issue? And then Warren Brenson, obviously, the tackle up there in the middle, you know, they're already thin there because Xavier McLeod and Jordan Hall are out. And so how serious is that? But it sounded like Kirby thought that Warren Brenson should be able to play on Saturday. So it feels like the drama from the Trevor Etienne stuff is all put to bed, even if it's handled in a just a very bizarre way of we're not talking about it, even though we dressed the guy and we got everyone seeing him on the field and going, oh, is this going to happen? But no, they stick to their rules and follow the things, and he served his one-game suspension. And it's weird, too, because how crazy of a game did Nate Frazier have in this one? Got all kinds of talk about him, and then Nate's going to come into Saturday's game as running back number two, and he's just not going to get as many touches, even though we've seen that he's an incredible back. But it's a good problem for Georgia to have.
Yeah, he really outshined Branson Robinson, who I thought, I mean, I had high hopes for, but maybe he'll get some more run later in the season. Before I let you go, how was the building? What was the split, and how was the energy?
So it's interesting. Initially, things were a bit skewed because in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Clemson fans were directly below and above the press box. So early on, I was like, oh, wow, okay, we've got a really good Clemson crowd, and things hadn't filled out yet because, you know, I mean, the craziness of everything that was going on in the city on Saturday, the traffic was absolutely insane. So it took a few minutes into the first quarter before everyone got in their seats, but then it was like, oh, no, okay, so this is more, I put it on the 65-70 Georgia fans versus Clemson fans. I don't think Georgia fans dominated quite as well as LSU fans did last night in Vegas, because that just felt like an insane LSU crowd versus USC when USC has the shorter trip. But Dog fans and just the crowd in general, very loud. And, you know, the smartest thing that Mercedes-Benz ever did was remove the glass in the press box so we can actually hear and feel the game as it's going on versus just getting it piped in the speakers. And it was a loud and really fun crowd that kind of makes you excited for what you know is going to be not only coming up, you know, at Georgia home games, but in Tuscaloosa, in Austin, when Georgia takes on some big opponents. And I'm very curious to see how all of these things affect as Carson Beck and, you know, all the quarterbacks have that new in-helmet communication. It's just kind of a new wrinkle to things that Carson said he liked having the in-ear, you know, being able to have that communication with Mike Bobo. Said he, you know, things moved a lot faster that way than having the cards and the play calls on the sidelines. But once you get in some of these loud places, that I think Mercedes-Benz was probably, you know, 70 to 75% as far as a volume level that we'll expect Georgia to experience the rest of the way. But definitely a good test for what they're going to face.
All right, Caleb, appreciate the time. As always, we'll check in with you again soon, talking dogs. And before we know it, the other guys in town will be suiting up and hitting the hardwood.
They'll be here, man. And I'm, you know, it's funny. It feels like the offseason lasts so long, and then you blink, and it's October, and we've got basketball going on. So it's not that far away.
Yeah. All right, enjoy the rest of the holiday, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson, our intrepid Hawks reporter, but again, doing a little double duty this season, covering the dogs for us here at 92.9 The Game as well. All right, when we get back, line them up, 404-726-0929. We have a full hour with our very own Falcons insider in studio. So if you've got questions about this Atlanta Falcons team heading into week one, now's your chance. You want to know who's going to play? How many reps are people going to get? Who do you think the MVP of the team is going to be in the game? What are your biggest questions, concerns? Or if you just want to call in and gloat and say that the Falcons are going to dominate Pittsburgh, it's all on the table. We are talking Falcons for the next hour with Joe Patrick in studio. Don't go anywhere. 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.